Gracious Father, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of belonging to you and being used by you. God, we thank you for this church family that you have seen to knit together by your grace and for your own glory, God. We pray for us today that you would help us to recognize your worth in order that we may learn to love you and obey you as you deserve. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. So, church, I've switched to teaching something different on a different text and topic today because we're also making a significant announcement that's pertinent to all of us as a church family. You'll see why in a minute that I'm teaching Philippians 3:17 instead of beginning Romans 7, where Paul uses the death of a spouse as an illustration for freeing someone from a particular law. So that's not what we're going to be talking about today. But the announcement concerns a transition taking place at the end of this year that's pretty monumental in the life of our church family. As of January 2026, Pastor Rich Tolliver will be transitioning to the role of Pastor Emeritus, which means that his ministry status will no longer be as a staff member, but rather, Rich will have freedom to live and serve among us in any volunteer capacity that he chooses. It's truly difficult for me personally to express the level of my gratitude to God for Rich and Patty, and to describe their lasting impact not only in my life, but especially in the life of this church family called Branson Bible. In December of 1986, Rich and Patty brought their young children to Branson, Ryan, Isaac, Jenny, and Sarah, and Rich became senior pastor of Branson Bible Church. Rich served faithfully, wisely, and capably in that role for a brief 28 years before humbly becoming associate pastor from 2015 to the present, an additional 11 years on staff. During his 39 years of shepherding here, Rich has clearly and consistently lived out gospel truth in every aspect of his life, impacting countless lives with his genuine care for others, his Christ-like humility, and his deep love for the Word of God. Rich and Patty, we love you. We thank God for you, and we're so glad that you plan to stay here with us in this next season of life. And now I'm going to give Pastor Rich an opportunity to come up and say a few words for himself.
This morning the clock just kept marching on. And then I got here and I was thinking, I wish the songs would last a little bit longer. After much prayer and reflection, I'm announcing today my decision to step down as associate pastor of Branson Bible Church, effective January the 1st, 2026. This decision comes with a deep sense of peace and gratitude for all that God has done and continues to do in our midst. For the past 39 years, 28 years as senior pastor and 11 years as associate pastor, it's been one of my greatest privileges to serve this congregation, to open God's word with you, to walk with you through life's joys and sorrows, and to witness firsthand the transforming power of his grace. Together, we have sought to honor Christ and to grow in faith. As I step aside from my current pastoral role, I do so not to leave ministry behind, but to enter a new chapter of it. I'm deeply honored to continue serving as pastor emeritus, which largely means you're retired. That's kind of a fancy way of saying that, don't you think? Beginning January the 1st, 2026, in this capacity, I look forward to offering encouragement, counsel, and support to our leadership and to this much-loved church family that has meant so much to me and to Patty over these years. Our four children, who Jeff just named. This would be one of those times you'd forget your kids' names. Ryan, Isaac, Jenny, and Sarah. Let's see. When we came to Branson, Ryan was 7, I believe, and Zeke was 4. Jenny was 2, and Sarah wasn't walking yet. So, anyway, I should make you stand up. No, I won't do that. I won't do that. Our 4 children have grown up in Branson Bible Church, and 19 of our 23 grandkids are growing up in Branson Bible Church as well. The spiritual heritage of this church has profoundly shaped our family, and we are deeply grateful. This transition is not an ending. It's a continuation of God's good work among us. I'm filled with gratitude for what the Lord has done and filled with hope that he will continue to do so. The same faithful God who guided us through these 39 years will continue to lead Branson Bible Church into the future. I want to take a special moment to thank Pastor Jeff, who has served faithfully as senior pastor over these past 11 years. It seems like they've flown by. I don't know if it has to you or not, Jeff, but his leadership, preaching, and heart for the Lord have been a tremendous blessing to this church and to Patty and me personally. Patty and I are thankful for Jeff and Claudia and their ministry at Branson Bible Church. We're confident that the Lord will continue to use them greatly as they lead this congregation forward. I also want to sincerely thank the elders of Branson Bible Church who have so faithfully led the fellowship through the years. Your wisdom, prayerful guidance, and dedication to Christ and his people have been an immeasurable blessing to me and to this congregation. And to each of you, thank you for your love, your prayers, and your partnership in the gospel. Serving as your pastor has been one of the greatest joys and honors of my life. As we look to the future, may we continue to walk in unity, to trust in the Lord's wisdom, to fix our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Thank you.
Rich is a big hugger, so I wanted to make sure I did that in front of all of you. The elders will have more detailed information about the transition at the church business meeting on December 17th. That'll be a Wednesday night. We'd also like to share with you our desire to help them financially with this transition and about plans for a thank you party in January, so you can look forward to information about that. And Lord willing, we'll give you an opportunity to ask us more questions at that time. This also means that we'll begin immediately seeking to hire a full-time executive director to come on staff at some point in 2026, so we would greatly appreciate your prayers for that endeavor, as well as continuing to pray, of course, for Rich and Patty. Now turn with me in your Bibles to Paul's letter to the Philippians, and keep that letter open because we'll be doing an overview of more verses than just this initial one this morning. But look with me first at Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us. Paul says to the brothers and sisters in Christ at Philippi, to become joint imitators of his way of life, to join one another in following the Apostle Paul's example, and to notice with careful observation also the lives of those who walk, who similarly live their daily lives, in other words, who walk according to the example that you have in us, the form, the pattern, the model that you have in Paul and the apostles, in his fellow ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Undoubtedly, what Paul means is similar to what he says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Paul is keenly aware that the supreme example is Jesus, as we see shortly from Paul in another passage in Philippians. Paul can say that we should become imitators of God also as beloved children, Ephesians 5, verse 1. Learning to walk in God's sacrificial love, chapter 5, verse 2, and to walk in light as God himself is light, Ephesians 5, 8. So becoming examples of God's own holy character. But what Paul instructs us here is that we should learn to follow examples nearer in proximity to us. Those who demonstrate by their lives that they are humble and faithful in their submission to Christ. The Puritan William Bates gives us some clarity as to why we need examples to follow even along with the example of Christ. He says this, "Precepts instruct us what things are our duty, but examples assure us that they are possible." Examples assure us that it's possible when we see men like ourselves who are united to frail flesh in the same condition with us, but who have learned to command their passions, to overcome the most glorious and glittering temptations. We are then encouraged in our spiritual warfare. We need examples to follow. But what kind of examples should we follow? I want to encourage you this morning that the Apostle Paul gives us a clear picture of this in his letter to the Philippians. He will say it, and Paul demonstrates it. So first from chapter 3, verse 17 in particular, and sort of overarching for this lesson today, follow the example of growing believers who demonstrate humble, joyful, and faithful submission to Christ with their whole lives. The Lord Jesus knew that we would need other examples to follow. The Lord knew that we would need this, so from the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus set a pattern for discipleship that is both the definition of how saved people live, that's what discipleship means, those who submit our whole lives to following him, and also a pattern for how the gospel would continue to spread and take root in the lives of coming generations. Again, discipleship is both the definition of how saved people live, and it is the pattern for how the gospel takes root in the lives of subsequent generations. Disciples of Jesus make disciples of Jesus by not only sharing the good news of the gospel, but by teaching them to live their whole lives in submission to their new Lord. Obviously, the example of anyone other than Christ will be an imperfect example, an imperfect model. But we mustn't expect perfection in order to find models to follow. We should rightly look for a clear and growing pattern of godliness, of submission to Christ. In the immediate context preceding this verse, even the Apostle Paul says of himself that he is still growing, still striving to be more like Christ, and that all the mature should think this way. He says in chapter 3, verse 12, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." So Paul lived before these believers and all of the churches that he planted as an example of one whom they could see continuing to grow in faithfulness to Christ. Paul was quite literally saying, when he comes then to chapter 3, verse 17, that they should follow the example of those who are growing in likeness to Jesus. And now just let me briefly highlight the adjectives that I chose in this statement. Paul demonstrates the humility that Paul himself highlights about Christ in chapter 2, and which he'll instruct the believers to be united in this humility, the same humility revealed by Jesus in his condescension from glory and in his willing death. Secondly, the joy and hope of knowing Christ. No matter what our circumstances, the joy and hope of knowing Christ, no matter what our circumstances, is quite possibly the theme that holds Philippians together, and that which Paul models and instructs of the hearers. Paul says at chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble for me and is safe for you. To keep saying, rejoice in the Lord. And so he'll say again at chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. The reason I bring this up is that submission to Christ is not submission if it doesn't come from a heart of joy in serving our Lord. Submission isn't submission unless it springs from a heart of joy in serving him as Lord. Joy in Christ should characterize those whom we seek to follow. Humility, joy, and now also a final adjective that I have here is faithful. We can't follow those who are inconsistent. No consistency means no pattern to follow. One of the most significant things that Rich has taught me, right next to his humility, is lived out in his consistency. By nature, I am a fluctuating firebrand. Rich has taught me to turn down the heat just a little and to learn consistency. So faithfulness means consistency, and it also means character. Christ-like character matters more than spiritual gifting, more than natural talent, and more than the particulars of ministry. That may be something that I learned from reading scripture and other books, but Rich modeling it for me is what made it stick. Christ-like character matters more than spiritual gifting, more than natural talent, and more than even the particulars of ministry. Again, let us follow the example of growing believers who demonstrate humble, joyful, and faithful submission to Christ with their entire lives. Now I'm going to use the opportunity of being in Philippians already to summarize some other things that we can trace in this letter about the example that Paul himself sets, that we should learn about good models for us to follow. Because we have to do this quickly, I'm going to encourage you to meditate on Philippians further and on this list even, and perhaps even adding your own statements to the list from Philippians. Even consider doing this with another one of Paul's letters. But here, using the opening of the letter, I've stated an element that is essential and foundational about us finding good models to follow. Follow those whose lives bear clear evidence of spiritual regeneration and gospel witness. Paul and Timothy, who send this letter, and they call themselves slaves of Christ Jesus in the opening of this letter, they can give clear testimony of Christ's intervention in their lives, giving them new birth, which has transformed everything about them. Their whole lives are now about Jesus Christ. We are his slaves. Not only their words, but also their very lives bear witness to the truth of the difference the death and resurrection of Jesus makes to those who submit to him in faith. We need to follow those who live, whose lives testify to the power of God through the gospel of Jesus to spiritually regenerate dead sinners. Here's another one we might postulate as Paul continues with his customary opening prayer in this letter. Follow those who make dependent and grateful prayer the pattern of their lives. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, for all of you, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Listen, Christians, we pray exactly as much as we depend on God. And we pray as much as we desire to express praise and thanks to God for who he is and what he has done. The overflow of our hearts is why we pray. We pray in praise and gratitude, and we pray in dependence. Brothers and sisters, let us follow those who make dependent and grateful prayer the pattern of their lives. Also from Paul's prayer, we can and should see that we ought to follow those who demonstrate sincere care in their love for you and others. They demonstrate sincere care in their love for you and other people. Paul says, still in his prayer, it is right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. He's so sappy, I love it. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. That's how a pastor loves his flock. That's how Rich Tolliver has loved this church. See, the difficulty is that the pattern of our humanity and sinful flesh is to be exceedingly self-focused. We should learn from those who are sincere in their love for us and sincere in their love for others. Isn't it interesting how we know this when we see it? When we experience it, we know sincere love expressed toward us in Christ Jesus. Similarly, follow those whose genuine concern is God's glory through your growth in Christ. Still in this prayer, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Let's follow those whose genuine concern is God's glory through our growth in Christ. Also, follow those who put the advance of the gospel and the good of others above their own needs and wants. When Paul continues in this letter in verses 12 to 18 of chapter 1, Paul is not worried about being imprisoned if it advances the gospel, which he says is what's been happening. I'm in prison and the gospel is advancing. He even declares that he doesn't fret over those who are preaching out of rivalry toward him, so long as Christ is being truly proclaimed, and in that Paul rejoices. What an example we have seen from Pastor Rich and Patty to be willing to not only humbly change roles, but now to make this change in their lives. Their concern is the advance of the gospel and the good of others above their own needs and wants. Paul cares about the glory of Christ and the advance of his gospel for the good of others. That's the kind of example we should follow. As we continue in Philippians chapter 1, follow those whose greatest hope is to honor Christ in life and in death, verses 19 to 26. Here's a couple of verses from that section. As it is my eager expectation and hope about himself that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We need models whose greatest hope is to honor Christ with their whole lives, even to the point of death. We should also follow those whose life, leadership, and teaching keeps us accountable to God's word. Follow those whose life, leadership, and teaching holds us accountable to the Word of God. Now, this is kind of the point of why Paul writes these letters in the first place. But there are a couple of spots in this letter where we might notice this more particularly. Here in chapter 1 and then another spot in chapter 2. But read with me chapter 1, verse 27. Here's Paul's accountability to the believers in Philippi. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, do you hear the accountability? Whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Paul will hold them accountable again in the middle of chapter 2 in a similar way. We need to follow examples who know that God's word is authoritative And God's word is sufficient for our lives, for their lives, and for our lives, and who therefore hold us accountable to it. As we come to chapter 2, follow those who exalt Christ as the supreme and only perfect example to follow. And as we said, thereby model his humility. Since we already highlighted this in the headline section of chapter 3, verse 17, I'll just add this. A leader who is not humble is a leader not worth following. A leader who is not humble is a leader who is not worth following. You'll have to forgive my directness and accept the sincerity with which I say this, because it has become so blatantly problematic in our celebrity culture, even among Christians. A person who is not humble is not someone you should follow. Full stop. Red flag. Find someone else to imitate. A lack of growing humility is a sure sign of a lack of teachability, which is a sure sign of a lack of healthy submission to Christ. So follow those who exalt Christ as the supreme and only perfect example to follow, and thereby they are modeling his humility. So too, follow those who know that we must invest ourselves fully, but that it is God who does the work. Do you remember these phrases from chapter 2, verses 12 to 13? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Fully submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ with all that you are and all that you have. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Then, as we said, this in the following section of chapter 2, verses 12 to 18, is another example of direct accountability for the believers. And then after that, this comes next. Follow those who promote the ministry of other people and are unselfishly grateful to God for blessing them. Who unselfishly promote the ministry of other people and are grateful to God for blessing them. Not only has Pastor Rich set an example for me in this, but I used to keep a statement by Martin Lloyd-Jones printed and in my office that said, "May I never be envious of God's blessing of others in ministry, but to rejoice and pray for them and pray that God would continue such things." Here in this letter from chapter 2, verses 19 to 30, what does the Apostle Paul do? He highlights his appreciation and holds these other men as examples. Before the believers, he describes the faithfulness and sacrificial ministry of both Timothy and Epaphroditus. There is no jealousy or envy, only gratitude from Paul for God's work in these other men, Timothy and Epaphroditus. He says, follow the example of such men who would give their very lives for you, who would sacrifice their health for you, who are examples of humility and faithfulness. And then in chapter 3, follow those who believe that knowing and serving Christ far exceeds anything else that this world can offer. Follow those who believe that knowing and serving the Lord Jesus far exceeds anything else that this world could possibly offer. Surely you also know these words from Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Indeed, Paul says, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Everything else is rubbish that I might like talk about the things in my life and the things that I've accomplished and what a good guy I am and what a good Pharisee I would have made. All of that's rubbish. I count everything as loss for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. That's even success in ministry. What's more important for him, his own heart before God, in ministry, I get to know the joy of knowing Jesus. I belong to him. Follow those who believe that knowing and serving Christ far exceeds anything else in all the world. And that brings us back to the section where we began, where Paul demonstrates that he is a growing believer. And he instructs them to imitate him and others like him. And alas, we're out of time to keep doing this with the last bit of Philippians 3 and chapter 4. So I challenge you, I want to challenge you on your own or with others, complete this project. Finish chapter 3 and do chapter 4. Read a section of verses and write a statement that begins with, follow those who. Just as we started, follow the example of growing believers who demonstrate humble, joyful, and faithful submission to Christ with their whole lives. Here's how I'd like to wrap this up for application today. I want you to hear this and make sure that you apply this to your life. We become like those we follow. We become like the people that we're looking up to. We will become like them. So please be attentive to the examples that you are following. I implore you, follow the example of Patty and Rich Tolliver. You will become like the people that you follow. In an age of shallow following for shallow reasons, follow those who love Christ deeply and walk in God's will consistently. In an age of shallow following for shallow reasons, follow those who love Christ deeply and walk in God's will consistently. Steer away from famous personalities whom you do not actually know. Steer away from following famous personalities whom you do not actually know and follow faithful followers whom you know. I love the way that Paul says in the second chapter of 1 Thessalonians, he keeps telling the believers, you know us. You know us. You know how we lived before you. You know this. Follow the example of faithful believers around you whom you know. Measure character and sincerity. Measure character and sincerity like they matter immeasurably more than gifting and a mass following. And finally, be mindful of the example that you set. In the way we follow Christ, we are teaching others how to be his disciples. In the way we follow Christ, we're teaching other people how to be disciples of Jesus. It is true that Paul tells Timothy and Titus that they must set an example for other leaders and believers. Peter also instructs the church elders to focus on setting an example for the members of the church where they serve. But let's be mindful that such is not just the responsibility of the select few whom, yes, God has seen fit to place in leadership, but being an example for others as we learn to follow Christ more closely and more faithfully is the privilege and responsibility of all of God's people. In our recent study of Titus, we emphasize this as Paul does in chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Paul highlights the discipleship role of older men and older women in the faith. Have you been in the faith longer? Then you must set an example for younger men and younger women in the faith. Why? That is for the health of the body of Christ. Be mindful of the example you set. In the way we follow Christ, we are teaching others how to be his disciples. For example, no one else can be dad or mom to your children. No one else can be dad or mom to your children. No one else can be roommate to your roommate. No one else can be the example at work that you can be. Just you, the follower of Jesus Christ, who's right beside this person that God has placed in your care. Be mindful of the priorities that you set for others by your example. Notice that nowhere does Paul instruct us to make a big splash and do great things. You can correct me if you find it. I don't think Paul tells us anywhere to make a big splash and do great things. But everywhere, he calls us to humbly, joyfully, and faithfully submit to Christ and to follow others who do so. Therefore, be an example to follow. Love Christ deeply. Walk in God's will consistently. Be humble and teachable. Admit weakness. Ask forgiveness and graciously grant forgiveness. Be an example to follow, even as Rich and Patty have been and continue to be for so many of us. And speaking of Rich and Patty's example, we'll finish with this, a similar admonition from the author to the Hebrews. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Join me, brothers and sisters, in continuing to pay close attention to the outcome of Rich and Patty's lives and that of other good models, that we may learn to imitate their faith. And may God graciously grant us, with much prayer and dependence on Him, that we too should become worthy models to follow. Now I'm going to ask the elders to come up and pray over Rich and Patty up front. So, Rich and Patty, can you come up? Elders, would you come up? Praise team, you can also make your way up behind us, because after we pray, we're going to sing a final song and then we'll conclude with our normal benediction.
Please pray with me for Rich and Patty. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for Rich and Patty Tolliver. Over several decades, they have lived lives that have glorified you, wonderful examples of your grace and mercy. As a team, they have provided our church with great wisdom and spiritual leadership. Rich's welcoming smile and Patty's warm hugs are hallmarks of their personal invitation to worship you at BBC. Through your inspiration, they led us in your truth, taught us your word, mentored us, and comforted us. In their witness for you over the years, they have created a living legacy in the lives of many individual members of our church family, and in the witness of their own families, who also imitate your son, Jesus. Their humble service to you and to BBC can be summarized in these two words, sacrificial love. Today and for the future of their retirement, we ask your almighty and loving hand will be upon them in rest, continued blessings, peace, and good health, as well as new opportunities for service. For your glory, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Who deserves to be exalted for giving us such examples to follow? Our Lord, our King, our Savior, who by His grace is making a people for His own possession, and who by His grace teaches us to follow Him humbly, joyfully, and faithfully. God has been doing this for a couple of millennia, and will continue to do so for whoever will submit to Him and let Him work in us by His grace. God can do this in you as well if you will submit to Him. Pray with me in closing. God of all glory and grace, we want to exalt you for what you have done and continue to do in simple, humble people, God. We thank you again for Rich and Patty's example to us these many years, and that we get to have them still be here being an example to us. We thank you, God, for the example that you give us through so many, because you are working in them by your grace. God, teach us to be people who are worthy to follow because you are worthy. In Christ's name we ask. Amen.